There are a few things more annoying than getting a call when you're in the middle of a meal or maybe you're spending time with family, and then when you answer it, it's a solicitor who shouldn't have been calling you anyway. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're going to take a look at that issue and a lot of other consumer issues with our two guests today. Sandy Chalmers is the administrator of the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection. Thank you for coming back, Sandy.
Having us on today.
And Michelle Reinen, who is the director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection. Always great to have you with us, Michelle.
Thanks, Larry. It's great to be here.
Well, I tell you what, we've got some new deals going with the phones and the no-call list.
Well, it seems like something is always going on with phone calls and telemarketing and robocalls. There are always a lot of scams out there, but we do have some good news about Wisconsin's Do Not Call law. One of the most frustrating things for consumers about the previous law was that it required you to sign up on the list at least once every 2 years or your number would drop off. And that was really hard for people to remember to do. And from time to time, we would get a complaint from somebody about receiving a telemarketing call. And when we followed up on it, we would see that they were not on the list. So there was nothing we could do for them. So the legislature apparently heard the same concerns that we did about the two-year registration, and they've changed the law to a permanent registration now. So you sign up once, and you're done as long as you have that phone number. So no more need to try to remember to sign up every 2 years.
And that goes into effect?
On August 1st.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Which is just around the corner.
And now, let's say I'm already on, which I am. Do I need to redo it?
Yeah, we tried to make this as seamless as possible for consumers. So what happens behind the scenes is that the Federal Trade Commission is going to maintain the list for us. And they have a separate list at the federal level. If you're on the Wisconsin list now, your number will automatically transfer and your registration will become permanent and you don't need to do anything. But if you want to check, you're not sure whether you're registered or not, go to donotcall.gov and you can verify that your number's on the list and that you're covered by state and federal law. If you don't have internet access, you can call 1-888-382-1222. And you need to call from the number you want to register or that you're checking on.
Maybe you should repeat that number once.
Yeah, the number is 1-888-382-1222. And the website's donotcall.gov.
All right. So, and I, you know what? I think we'll post it. Judith probably already got it posted up on my Facebook page. And we'll get to that. But Rocky in Neshkoro has a question for us. So let's go there. Hi, Rocky.
Well, I get it. You asked about annoying phone calls. I've gotten some from, so, you know, I don't remember where they were from, but I hang up on them and I try to call the number back and the number doesn't exist. How do you stop that?
Well, there are a couple of problems here. One is that if you're getting a call from a legitimate company, you can tell them, don't call me anymore. And by state and federal law, they are required to stop calling you. So that's one way to address that. If it's one of those fraudulent robocalls, you might talk to your phone company about ways to block calls. That's not foolproof, but it may limit or give you a temporary reprieve. And another thing, if you're a smartphone user, there are lots of apps that you can put on your smartphone, your iPhone, that will blacklist robocalls or have the effect of blocking those annoying robocalls.
There are apps for that, eh?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Are they expensive?
No. The ones I know of are completely free.
Well, that's the best kind.
Yeah.
That's the best kind for sure.
There are more options for smartphones than there are for landlines, unfortunately.
rotary dial cell phones?
I'm sorry? For rotary dial phones? No, there's probably nothing. Oh, yeah, nothing for those.
But do talk to your telephone provider and see if they have any potential solutions for you.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's a good idea, Sandy. Thank you very much for calling. By the way, you can join in, too. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And we'd certainly love to hear from you as we visit with Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen, consumer protection experts from the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Facebook comment from Jody, suggestion to the law for solicitors. They can only call a maximum of, 10 times, and then a message must be left, and no more calls can be made. It's harassment when they continue to call and call, never leaving a message and forcing you to actually answer and be confronted by them before you can make it stop. Obviously, in this day of caller ID, if they haven't gotten an answer, they are being screened. Comment on that one, Michelle?
Well, we need to watch that being screened part. I'm going to pick up on the last part of that because that's an important message for all consumers to realize that there is technology out there that allows these telemarketers to change what the caller ID shows. So they could put on their representation of a local number. They could give themselves a different name. That's an illegal action. It's called spoofing, but there is technology that allows them to do that. So don't be fooled by that caller ID screen into thinking that it is someone you know. There was a recent scam out there as it relates to a grandparent scam and trying to or the credit card services scam out there, a telemarketer that tried to lower your interest rate, and they made the number appear like a local phone number, so it could be your neighbor's number for all you know, and that kind of enticed people to pick up the phone, and it was that same lower your interest rate call and just hang up the phone if you answer it. Don't hit those buttons or get engaged that way.
Caller Greg in Dubuque, Iowa, got a call, and he was told that he had a problem with his computer. They wanted him to log into his computer and go to a specific website, and the representative said that once Greg was on the website, he would hand him over to a tech for assistance. It sounded suspicious since he wasn't having any problems with his computer. Was this a scam of some sort? Have you heard about that one, Sandy?
Yeah, unfortunately, that's been a really common scam. You'll get a call from somebody claiming to be from Microsoft or Norton or McAfee, one of the antivirus companies. Some good news is that the Federal Trade Commission just took an enforcement action against a group of people that were using this Microsoft tech support pitch. And they now owe the federal government $5.1 million for this scam.
Good.
But if you ever get a call from somebody claiming to be from Microsoft, just know that Microsoft does not call you in this way. One of the most frequent methods that criminals use is to pose as somebody from a well-known, respected company or from a government agency. So if you ever have any question about who the person on the other end of the line is, you reach out to that company or that government agency to verify that this is a real call. In most cases, it's not. It's a scam.
Yeah. Karen in Appleton, thank you for waiting. Hi, Karen.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. Appreciate your call. What's on your mind?
Well, my concern is the number of political calls I get. It doesn't matter what party. We're getting them from both. And also from supposed fundraisers that are, it's okay for them to call. How do you stop them?
Yeah.
Well, state and federal law is very similar on this issue, and both laws cover business sales pitches only. And when you think about that, you think about what's not covered, and that includes political calls, marketing, survey-type calls, calls from charitable organizations, things like that. So the answer is that neither state nor federal law covers political calls.
What about these apps that you were talking about earlier, these free apps?
Well, if you want to use a call blocking technology, the way a lot of the smartphone apps work is that when a call comes in, you just touch the little button that says block calls from this number, and then your phone won't ring anymore when that number calls you. So that is an option.
Oh, yeah, actually, that might not be a bad way to go, Karen.
Yeah, well, one wonders if part of the reason why political calls are not legislated is because they'd be biting off their own noses, you know?
Well, there may be some truth to that, Karen.
Well, you guys have a good day.
Yep, you too. I'm not going to say one way or the other, but I'm going to instead turn to Keith in Lake Tomahawk and see what's on Keith's mind. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. This is a great topic because I work with a guy that he got the same phone call yesterday, but I got a phone call, and when you answer it, you hear someone, I believe it's a recording, but they speak to you in Spanish. And, you know, I don't understand Spanish or whatever language it is, but the number that comes up on my screen is the same number that this guy I work with. It's the same number. We both have the same cell phone carrier, but the last four numbers of our numbers, mine is 20 and his is 24. I'm just wondering if anybody else has ever experienced something like this.
Yeah, we've been hearing about that more and more, where the number that shows up on the caller ID is just a couple digits different than your own number.
Yeah.
And that's obviously something they've done with software to entice you to pick up the phone, as Michelle was saying. If you pick up the phone and you hear a recorded message, that's a robocall. And in most cases, that call is illegal if they're trying to sell you something, unless you've given that company or organization permission to call. So if you hear that robocall, that recorded pitch, just hang up and don't press any buttons and don't ask to speak to a live operator, because it's most likely that will increase the number of calls you get instead of make them stop.
All right. There we go.
Well, see, the thing is, though, is they come across with this spiel and then they don't say nothing else.
Yeah. He has a hang up on them.
Yeah, don't press any buttons. Don't try and engage. Just hanging up is the best option.
We have had a number of people calling in to wondering about that number that you gave earlier to verify that a person's phone number is registered, and also the website. We can put this up on my Facebook page, but let's repeat that again.
The website address is donotcall.gov, which is pretty easy to remember. But the phone number to call, and remember that you need to be calling from the phone you want to register, is 1-888-382-1222.
1-888-382-1222. All right. 1-888-382-1222. And in case you didn't get it, we'll have it up on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Our guests today, Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Renan from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Questions? We have open lines. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. We would certainly love to hear from you. And a Facebook question from Becca we should take. My mom gets calls all the time from the same 800 number, and the caller ID says it's Easter Seals. She never picks up, but they never give up. This has been going on for months on end. Do you think lists
This is the real Easter Seals calling. She has donated to them in the past and is now sorry due to all the mail, notepads, address labels, etc. that she gets. And I've had the same feeling myself, not about Easter Seals, but about another organization that I once gave some money to.
Yeah, charities are really good at communicating with those they want to receive funds from. And so one thing you can do if you want it to stop is tell them on the phone to remove you from their internal call list, that you no longer want to receive calls from them. And then also, if you're receiving mailings, put it in writing to them as well. Do not send me mailers. Do not call me anymore, so you can be put on their internal list to not receive that. And they need to honor that when you put it in writing to them that you no longer want to receive that information.
I was talking to a friend the other day who is remarried, but about 18 years ago, his first wife gave some money to an organization, and he says, 18 years later, I'm still getting, he said, I never gave a penny, but 18 years later, this is still kind of a gift from my ex-wife. Mary in Portage, it's your turn. Hi, Mary.
Hi, I have a question. I keep getting a phone call two or three times a day. I never pick up. They never leave a message. And I Google the phone number, and it is, quote, some company out of West Dallas, Wisconsin. One of the comments that came up when I Googled it said that it was a company that official records.
And I'm sorry, what did you say? We missed that.
It was a company that bought up some financial records.
Oh, okay.
So, like, if you owed money.
Right.
And even if it's paid, they're still trying to get money. And they never leave a message. So I'm just wondering, just continue to ignore them?
Michelle, what
How
do you think?
I get-
yeah, let's see what we can do. Michelle?
Well, at this point, if you've communicated to them that you don't owe anything and they shouldn't be contacting you anymore and they continue to do so, you should file a complaint and communicate with the Department of Financial Institutions. They regulate the collection agencies that operate and the collection practices that are need to be followed by these agencies. So you should...
But I've never talked to them.
So they have a recorded message, is that it?
They don't never leave a message, but they call two to three times a day.
And they just hang up?
There's just when I do my call log on my phone and the number comes up. Yeah, they don't leave a message, they just hang up.
Well, then you have two options. Continue not to engage with them and just let them fill your voicemail or your answering machine. Or you still file that complaint with the Department of Financial Institutions. I guess the third option is you can make contact to see if there is a collections, but I wouldn't want to engage if they're not leaving you a message.
No.
Right. That's what I thought. Okay. Thank you.
Yep. Thanks a lot, Mary. Jeff in Door County. Hi. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how are you guys?
Great. Appreciate your call. What's on your mind?
I have kind of a unique situation. I've lived abroad for the past 4 years, and I just recently returned back to the States. And a couple of days ago, I got a phone call from a collection agency, and I have stellar credit. And the guy, you know, I'm pretty good at vetting these guys, and the guy was, you know, he told me, you've got an outstanding AT&T phone bill. I was like, I haven't even lived here. And he's like, well, this is on your credit report. And I said, well, I just checked my credit report. It's not on there. And he goes, well, I'm telling you right now, it is on your credit report, and you're going to jack your credit up if you don't take care of this. So then he gave me the phone number for AT&T, who I called, and AT&T wanted my Social Security number, and I'm like, I'm not giving you my Social Security number. So they told me I had to file a police report. So I went down and filed the police report, and I'm just wondering how it's not on my credit report. I checked my credit report again last night. So I'm wondering how I can better vet these credit guys, these collection guys that just kind of fish for people with the same name.
Yeah.
Well, similar to the last caller, the collection agents, some of them use all sorts of means and are just fraudulent collection agents. They're just trying to make up debt, and that's a scam operation. And then there's the legitimate collection agents out there. So the Department of Financial Institutions is where you'd want to file that complaint, so they can be running a record and keeping record and trying to stop the scam aspect of the collection agents and make sure that the legitimate ones are following the laws and the appropriate practices out there. But it also sounds, you have to be concerned about identity theft happening, and that someone has either used your name and social security number or their name and your social security number to run up a tab on you. And you did it, the best thing, the first thing we tell consumers is to get a credit report and check that to see if there's anything there, and next file a police report and then file a complaint. If you have that, and then you can put a credit freeze on your social security, your credit record with the company, and that has a fee. If you're a victim of identity theft, you could put a fraud alert on your credit report through the credit reporting agencies, and that will prevent or minimize and try and prevent identity theft from occurring with your credit report. So all options, and you've taken a good path there. The next thing, I think, would be to contact and communicate the Department of Financial Institutions.
Real quick, if I could just follow up. One of the things, I went and did a little search afterwards, and it said that I asked for verification of the debt, and the guy told me, I don't need to give you any information. But what I found out was you can actually request, you can request for a validation of debt, and you send a letter to whoever it is that's contacting you. And then they have to send you verification that this is your debt. Is that true? Is that another path that I can take? But then again, I don't want to keep engaging these guys because, like you said, is you're just kind of adding fuel to it.
Right, and these are probably fraudulent ones, and the more you engage, the longer they'll hang on to you.
Sure.
But you're right. They do need to provide that verification. But that is all the regulations that the Department of Financial Institutions with the state of Wisconsin make sure are being followed by those agents. So I would reach out to them and get that information from them.
Okay.
Great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff, for calling. Dennis in Appleton, excuse me, your turn. Hi, Dennis.
Hello. I've always wondered why there's a no-call list. I think that's being done backward. I think there should be a call list, and everyone is automatically no-call until you call the call list.
Yeah.
Yeah, we hear that comment every once in a while. When you think about it, this is an opt-out system where if you don't want to receive the phone calls, then you sign up, and people say, well, I don't want to have to receive phone calls unless I say I do. But, you know, this is a legislative solution. I will say the state and federal laws and every state law I know of works the way ours does, where if you want to limit the phone calls you receive, you sign up on the no-call list.
Yep. There you go. Thank you for calling, Dennis. Larry and Eau Claire, your turn. Hi, Larry.
Hi. I'm going back to a woman that called about 15 minutes ago on the nonprofits. And, you know, it's political. It's Firemen's Associations, VA groups. It goes on and on and on. And they call at mealtime. And I, in no uncertain words, tell them that I will not talk to them and let my meal get cold. But how do we stop that? I mean, does it take a bill? I don't have a smartphone. I can't do it that way. You know, I don't know a politician that would tackle this. How do we do it?
Well, I think you're correct that if you would like a change in the law, you should contact your elected representatives. And in this last legislative session, there were several bills introduced to further limit allowed phone calls. And they received hearings. They did not receive a vote. But that kind of legislators need to hear from their constituents, no matter what the issue is.
Mm-hmm. Yep, there you go, Larry. Rob in Crawford County, hi.
Hey, my question is when you're in a mall
and they're giving away a free truck or a free something, and you sign up for it, does that put your phone number out there for telemarketing?
That could put your number out there. You need to, that's a great point. You really need to watch those drawings and free things that you are entering to make sure that you are not giving consent to receive calls. A lot of them, when you sign up on those cards at the bottom, say, you will, this authorizes that I will receive calls even if I'm on the do not call list or the state Wisconsin no call list or however they word it. But you are, by putting your name in on a lot of them, giving consent to receive calls. So watch the drawing and balance how much you want to win versus receive that phone call.
Yeah, or that email. There's been more than once. In fact, in the last week, there was twice where I started to enter, you know, and I thought, you know what? Do I really want to receive emails from these folks for the rest of my life?
Exactly.
And I deleted and got out of it. I didn't. I decided not.
But in Rob's situation, if he did sign up for a drawing and authorize those kinds of calls, you have the right under the law to change your mind and tell them, I don't want to receive calls from you anymore. And they are required to honor your request.
Oh, all right.
So it's not a... You're not giving them permission till the end
forever.
Of time to call you.
Oh, all right.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Rob, for calling. We have Bill in Elm Grove up now. By the way, you can join in, too. We have an open line or two. Get you on pretty quickly at 1-800-642-1234 as we visit with Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Rennan from the Department of Consumer, Bureau of Consumer Protection in our Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Bill in Elm Grove, thank you for waiting. Hi.
Yeah, thank you so much. A great show. Listen, I was a victim of identity theft about 15 years ago. A lot of grief. And it didn't cost me any money, but, boy, it was a lot of grief. So what I did was I put my credit and my wife's on, with all the three credit agencies, put it on freeze. And it worked beautifully since then. Now, it's a little bit of a hassle to do it, and if you go on and off of credit freeze, it costs you $10 or $15. But I would suggest this, especially for some young person. I'm retired now. But just think of somebody, you're a victim of identity theft, and you're a young person. It could change your whole life. You could be turned down for an excellent employment career, because an employer would not necessarily reveal to you why they didn't hire you, because you've got a bad credit rating, that somebody sabotaged your credit rating.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easy to do, and you hear all this stuff about, you know these people will charge you something. And they'll, you know, they only do something after something happens. But the credit freeze, you're frozen. Nobody can get into your credit without you unfreezing it, and it works well.
All right, Michelle, it's
absolutely right. The credit freeze is a prevention tool, and it's there to help prevent identity theft. You contact the credit reporting agency, and you need to contact each one of the three credit reporting agencies, and each one of those can have a fee, but you would freeze your credit. You wouldn't get any extensions of credit, so if you need to buy a car, get a mortgage, you have to temporarily lift the freeze, and there can be a fee for that, but it only lifts for a period, a couple of days, so that that mortgage can be checked, and the freeze goes back on. Now in Wisconsin, this is available for children, minors as well. So parents can put one on. If a child doesn't have a credit report, they create one. It's clean, and you can put a freeze on that. And that way, because children are one of the largest victim groups, because the identity theft can go on for so long, you're not getting loans and things. So it's a great prevention tool, and you'd want to contact each of the three credit reporting agencies.
Mm-hmm. All right. Bill, thank you again for calling. Appreciate it. Fran and Nina, hi to you.
Hi. Interesting show. I just wanted to call and tell you about a really clever answering machine message that I got the other day when I called someone. He said, please leave your name and phone number and we'll call you back. This is due to the high number of robocalls. And I thought that was probably a really clever way to discourage some of the robocalls coming into your home?
It might. But then again, it might not, too, Sandy.
I think people are so frustrated by the number of robocalls they get, they will try anything to put a stop to them.
Yep. Thanks a lot for calling, Fran. Lou in Milwaukee, what's on your mind?
Well, recently I received, about a month ago, repeated calls, and was recording, and the statement on there was that my debit card was going to be turned off or whatever.
Yep.
And I don't even use one, so I didn't respond.
Yeah.
Yeah, and obviously fraudulent robocall. They probably wanted to you to call a number, and then maybe they would ask you to read your credit card number to them over the phone just to verify. I mean, you can see a number of different paths that scam could take. But if you do get calls from somebody claiming to be from your bank or a fraud prevention agency, you might want to call the customer service number on the back of your card rather than return a call from somebody who may actually be in India or Russia or who knows where.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for calling. Bob and Franklin, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. This situation is a little complicated. My brother is renting an apartment. He moved out. They finally sent him something, said he wasn't getting a security deposit, and they had all these other charges on there. So I filed a complaint with DATCAP, and after a couple of months, they sent me a letter and said they were not able to negotiate any kind of a settlement. One of my options was to take it to court, but if we're gonna decide just to give up the security deposit but not pay the other charges, do we need to take it to court?
Yeah, no.
No, you wouldn't. That would be for the landlord to decide how badly they want those other charges and then pursue you or the tenant in court. So they could do that if you don't pay that. You'd also want to check any means of if they try and turn it over to a collections in that manner. But you'd have to look at your contract lease agreement to see what options there are there.
Yeah.
Okay. But that leads to another question then. Now I can't remember what it is. Sorry.
Oh, that's all right, Bob.
So I think what we'll do is we'll just ignore it then.
Yeah, or you can talk to them, probably is the best thing, and just say, look, we'll pay this, but we're not going to pay these. We don't feel these other expenses are justified, and sort of work it out that way with them. And that's probably one of those, since it's a local kind of thing, it's one of those, probably, wouldn't it be, Sandy or Michelle?
Communication is always one of the best tools that we have in trying to resolve situations, so you can always communicate. When we tell consumers they have the option of small claims court, that's if they want to try and get back their loss. It's the other party that is trying to get back their loss, and so with these extra charges, that collection, that would be for the landlord. And in this situation, if you've already tried to communicate back and forth and back and forth, you can make your statement or see what that landlord's next move is. You can always, always talk with an attorney about what your best options are as well when you're talking about private matters.
And Bob, thanks again for calling. I want to give Josh in Chippewa Falls a chance to join us. Josh, hi. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I got a flip phone, and you guys are the first ones I've talked to about this. I haven't asked no one else, but for the past about 4 months, I'll get a call once a day usually, and it'll say restricted. And if I don't answer it, it'll ring all day. It won't go to a voicemail or nothing. And if I do answer it, there's never anybody there.
Ugh. That was, you know, is awful.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter what time of day it is, 2 in the morning, noon, you know.
Oh.
I was wondering what was going on there.
Is it always from the same number?
It doesn't say, it just says
restricted, right.
Yeah, and then if I try to look it up, like in my call log, like received calls, it won't even show nothing there. Like it never happens.
I would talk to your service provider about what's happening and see if they can track what number or if there's a technical glitch issue. That restricted is usually a pretty reserved code to certain numbers that are coded in a specific way. So I'd reach out to your service provider, report it, and see if there's something going on the back end that they can deal with.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'll do that then.
Yeah, give them a call. Thank you for calling, Josh. Let's try Don and Tomahawk next. Hi, Don.
Hi, Larry. Really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Listen, one method that works for me, probably won't work for everybody, but when I get one of these solicitation calls, I tell the people I take no solicitations over the phone. Please send me your information, and then I'll make up my mind whether I want to help you out. And if they ask me for my address, I tell them, obviously, you know, you don't know who I am. You're just calling
anybody.
The calling list. And that seems to work. There are so many organizations which I have personally checked into that are frauds. And it's unfortunate, but, you know, they're taking your money. So anyway, that happens to work for me. I don't know if it'll work for anybody else, but I don't like these unsolicited calls.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. And I can tell you I've used that same way of dealing with these calls myself, and I have never received anything in the mail.
Yeah.
So
I have with the same result. Thank you, Don. John, well, let's go to Don in Columbus. The next Don. Hi, Don.
Hi. We just recently had a issue that worked out, but we had a credit card that would promise points for use, you know, and then we got a letter in the mail recently that said we are discontinuing the program, use your points within the next month, you know. Okay, so my wife calls to order things, and then we didn't hear anything. She called back. We don't have the selection anymore, and you know, on and on and on. And well, eventually, it was, well, the program's ended now. So too bad you lost them. So anyway, my wife nagged them, and just kept calling them and hassling them, and finally they credited her some money and whatnot. But so it worked out to our satisfaction. But it just seems so weird. It's like nobody was accountable. It's the credit card company doesn't do the program. They have it contracted out. The contractor, well, we ended it. It's not our fault, you know, and all that stuff. So I told my wife, I said, well, call this, you know, consumer protection and report it, you know, and that might get their attention. But anyway, so it was just a little story, I guess.
Well,
do you have any say about that?
Yeah, I appreciate the story, and I like the persistence that your wife showed. I don't know. What do you think, Michelle?
No, that was great. We really encourage consumers to keep on point with their situation and communicate and challenge the company when they've had a representation made to them about something. And you're right, Don, in filing that complaint. If you get to that point where you're not getting it resolved in satisfaction with a situation where there's been these representations, they're not being honored, file that complaint with our agency. We haven't given our number. It's 1-800-422-7128, or you can file online at datcp.wi.gov. There's complaint forms online, and we had a situation last summer, I believe, with airline miles and trying to transfer those, and we helped a lot of consumers get those miles transferred, and there were lots of claims of, well, the time periods ended and different honoring situations. So we've been successful there, and you could file those complaints.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, go ahead.
Just one more thing, and it seemed like that was the thing they kept saying, well, we'll get back to you in 3 days, or we'll get back to you in 7 days. And you know, and it was just delay. And so finally it was like, no, not anymore.
Well, good for you, Don. Thank you very much for calling. I appreciate it. We're talking consumer protection issues today with Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen from the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks so much for listening in on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Larry Mueller, taking a look at consumer issues today. Your consumer issues with Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen from the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Join in at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. And Chris and Rhinelander, you are up next. Hi, Chris. I'm sorry, Charles.
Oh, yeah.
Charles and Rhinelander, excuse me.
When I heard the word Chris, I said, well, it must be somebody else.
No, that was my fault, not yours.
Okay. Anyways, my thing, I've been getting, the last couple of weeks or so, I get a call, and it's a company wanting to know that I need to call to reduce my interest rate on my charge card and whatnot. But I basically ignore that. But the problem is, on my caller ID, it shows up as a local number, and it's a person that I know who lives about 2 miles away from me, and he knows nothing about anything, but it shows his phone number on the caller ID.
Yep. Yeah. Shady dealings, Sandy.
It has gotten so easy for these people sitting anywhere in the world to grab information off the internet and run it through a database. And we've heard from people who say they get calls that look like they're from the local Humane Society, or Larry just said he got one that looked like it was from a neighbor. So just be very, very skeptical. And, you know, in general, you think about people say, why is my phone ringing so much? Why am I getting these robocalls? And it's a combination of the ability to spoof the caller ID, extremely cheap long-distance rates, when you can think about how high they were 20 years ago or 30 years ago, the ability to make mass calls, to blast a voice message to millions of people a day, and then just the global reach of the internet. It's really changed the landscape when it comes to fraud via the telephone.
Okay. So, but is there anything this other person can do, or
no? Probably not.
I would report it to your phone company,
and at least
they may
report
be
it there,
able
yeah.
to. Phone companies can, on occasion, identify that a huge number of phone calls are originating from a specific number, and they can block those or just remove that number from service.
That's a very good idea. Thank you very much, Charles, for calling. And Mitch and Madison, your turn. Hi, Mitch.
Yes, I bought a car last year, and as a result of that, of the dealer trying to get credit for me, he came up with 28 credit inquiries on my credit report, and I'm wondering if there's any way that those could be gotten rid of.
That is a I think I would contact the credit reporting agency and find out what those inquiries are. Sometimes there are just pings that go against your that don't count against your score, but there's pings for what they call leads to then send you pre-approved offers and different mailings of sorts. So I would have a conversation with your credit reporting agency about what those are exactly.
Yeah, for sure.
I have another question, too. If I were to put a freeze on my credit report, would that preclude any old things that are going to, you know, eventually fall off, or if I pay something off, that it would come off? You know, do I have to unfreeze it for that those things to come off?
No, the way the freeze works is that if when you're trying to get a new extension of credit and the company you're requesting that loan from wants to check your credit history and your credit score, they can't do that unless you lift the freeze. But what's already currently existing, the freeze has no impact on that. It's on new extensions of credit.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Bernie in Fond du Lac. Hi, thank you for calling.
No, thank you. I was calling about due diligence. My daughter lived in Japan and was using our MasterCard. And 4 years later, then finally Bank of America MasterCard called and said, whoops, we just got a charge from Japan. Is that fraudulent? I was wondering, what were they doing for the first 4 years?
Oh, yeah. Are you sure that your daughter charged it?
Oh, yeah. Positive.
Oh, and you're sure that you didn't pay it 4 years ago?
No, she was using it continually, every month. Oh. There were many charges on it. But it took them 4 years to figure it out.
Did you authorize her? Was she using the card without your permission?
Yes, fully authorized. But they said they were looking for fraud, and they just noticed a purchase in Japan. Could this be fraudulent? I said, no, my daughter's been there for 4 years. And they just said, oh, and hung up.
Yeah, they may have been tightening up their fraud detection policies or something. It's hard to know. It's hard to know without asking them directly.
Yeah, yep, there you go. Thank you very much for calling. We have an email from Angie. My elderly neighbor was just scammed by someone posing as Microsoft. Before she realized it was a scam, she had given him remote access to her computer. He played around with it and showed her problems, in quotes, then said he would fix it for $250. She refused, and now her computer doesn't work. What did he do, and should she report this to somebody?
That person may have downloaded malicious software onto her computer, and she should at the very least run a strong security program or have a friend or, do that for her. We were talking about this earlier. It's a very, very common scam. And if somebody from Microsoft calls you and says there's something wrong with your computer, it's a scam.
Yeah.
It's a scam. So our best advice at this point would be to run some strong security software or call a tech support company and ask them to do that for you. And you may want to, depending on how she uses her computer, she may also want to check her credit report. Sometimes that software they'll download on your computer will allow them to capture your keystrokes, which, when you think about it, can include your passwords, maybe banking account information,
oh, yeah,
credit card information. So treat this very seriously.
Wayne and Bloomer, thanks for calling. Hi.
Interesting show. I have a little unique business that I make quite a bit of money at, and it's called an air finder. And a lot of people, when you first call them, they think you're some type of scam, which is natural. But one of the things that I found that works very well for me is I particularly identify who I am, where the funds are located, and where the funds are being held, and then tell them to go check me out on the web. Again, one of the rules for an air finder is to never give any, ask for any credible information, such as a bank account or Social Security number or any of these things. You don't want them. So I've been very successful with this the last 4 years, but I'd just like to get this out on the air that there are about 8 active air finders in the state of Wisconsin that contact people that have a sizable amount of money coming. And I'm currently involved in the largest case in the state of Wisconsin right now, where there's $474,580 going back to, right now we have 105 people under contract, and there's another 40 or so to go yet. So,
wow. Very interesting, and that's really good information, Wayne. There are people like you out there who heirs to wills or whatever, to possible quite a bit of money or property, but you never ask for that specific personal information. And neither would any other professional heir finder.
No, they shouldn't.
Yeah.
Again, when you get into this stuff, I'm involved in probate cases. I got one in California right now. I got another one that's going to come up in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, where the guy died, left 70-some thousand in Medford, Wisconsin. There's 61 heirs to this.
Oh.
All the pertinent information ends up going to the attorney.
Well, I thank you very much for calling. Very kind of interesting side, anyway, to learn about.
Sounds like a really interesting job.
It does.
But one of the things about the amount of fraud that's out there right now is that it does make it more difficult for legitimate companies and government agencies to do their work.
Yep.
And we want consumers to have confidence in the marketplace, and that's why our laws exist.
And we'll talk some more. We'll take a quick look at the news, weather, find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Net, and then we'll be right back. Stay with us. In the course of an average week or month, we act as a consumer many, many times, so much so that it's easy not to be vigilant about monthly bills and everyday interactions, but you need to be. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Most of our transactions go very smoothly, and you get what you pay for, and you don't get charged more than you should, but there are times when that doesn't happen, and then probably you need some help. And here's a couple people with me who can give you a lot of help. Michelle Reinen, Director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection. Michelle, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having us, Larry.
Sandy Chalmers, Administrator of the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection. And Sandy, thank you again for being with us.
Good to be here.
Appreciate it very much. Well, we have many callers online. You can join us. There's still one open line at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. On Jim in Oconomowoc up with a phone call, so let's go there. Jim, hi.
Hi. Thanks for having the program. I have a question. It seems as though the credit reporting agencies, they certainly carry a tremendous amount of power, as we've heard through the course of your program here, how with the information that they have can prevent good people from having a lot of benefits that are due to them. Why don't the credit reporting agencies call back or contact people when your report is accessed by someone or anyone? The credit card companies can do this, and sometimes, you know, I really appreciate it when I get a phone call or a text from my credit card that says, you have just spent X number of dollars, and this is a fishy, you know what I'm talking about, a sequence of, are you actually spending this money? And you can tell them, yeah, I am, and everything goes ahead as planned. Why can't the credit reporting agencies, with all their power, do the same thing?
All right. Jim's going to listen offline. I suppose the credit reporting agencies could do it. But what do you think, Michelle?
Well, if you place a fraud alert, if you're a victim of identity theft and are able to place a fraud alert on your credit, your report, then they do contact you to let you know that someone is trying to take that out. And that's the purpose of the alert, that you're a victim of identity theft or a potential victim of identity theft, and you have the ability to place this on. If you want something more permanent to lock down and secure, then it's the option of the freeze, and there's a charge. And that goes to the administrative costs behind that. One is free and one is pay.
And the issue, I think, is probably there's the millions of transactions and everything. It'd just be very, very expensive.
You know, the credit agencies are powerful. They're also very heavily regulated at the federal level. But they're in business to make money, like any other business is. And I do believe that many of them sell services. You know, for a fee, you can get all kinds of emails or notifications. So that's, yeah. That is, I believe, something that's available.
And I could just imagine if it was generally available, there'd be scammers that have this figured.
Yeah.
We'd be getting a whole new set of things to talk about every month. Oh, my goodness. Let's go to Stella in Sturgeon Bay. Hi, Stella. Thank you for calling.
Hi. You mentioned earlier that if a business, if you're on the do not call list and a business calls you, you can tell them to remove you from their list and to not call you anymore, and they are legally obligated to do so. My question is, does this also apply to nonprofits and political parties? If they call you and you tell them remove us from your list and do not call us anymore, are they legally obligated to do so?
Sandy, do you want to take it?
I don't believe so. We were just wishing we had a copy of the law here that we could reference and really dig into. I don't believe that they are required to do that. However, you can always ask, and as a courtesy or a good customer service, you would think they would be willing, or why would they pay to call somebody who doesn't want to get their calls is another way of looking at it.
Way to put it, yeah.
May I make a point here?
Sure.
We've done this for years, is ask them to remove us, and they're not courteous and do it. So if you could please, before your next time on Larry's show, if you could check that point out and see if they are legally obligated, then we could have that... that tool to say you're legally obligated to do this, and we'll pursue it if you don't comply.
Do you have a smartphone, by the way?
No, we don't have cell phones.
Oh, okay, all right.
And we don't have caller ID, which is one problem with the reporting of problems. You ask for the number that called you, and unless they give it to us, we don't have it.
Yeah, understood. Understood. Thanks very much. And will you guys look into this for us? Yeah.
Yeah, sure. We definitely will. We'll check our materials, and we'll look at the law, and we'll definitely look into that.
Thank you.
Yeah, and about filing complaints about telemarketing calls, we do want to hear from people. It really helps us kind of connect dots and figure out what's going on out there, and we can advise people what to be looking for and how best to protect themselves against any given scam that's playing its way out through the state. We do, on our complaint forms, ask for a lot of information. Just provide whatever information you have, and we understand that you may not be able to answer every question we ask, but any information you can provide is helpful to us, and we will follow up.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Stella. Thanks very much for calling. And you two will be back in probably a month or so anyway, won't you? We'll do this again?
Sure.
Oh, absolutely. Let's same time, same station. Let's go to Mark and Stoddard. Mark, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Larry. My question is that people in the industry, like whoever took over for Steve Jobs, and people like Bill Gates that are out there, and these computer hackers that we've grown in this country, why on earth could they not devise some sort of a trap? A counterattack to lure these people in? They devised an app for everything else. Why couldn't somebody lay a trap for these callers and launch a counterattack to take out each and every one individually? I mean, you've got to believe that there's somebody in upper management at Microsoft or at Apple that it would have the knowledge to do this. Is that not possible?
Well, I think you're right that it's going to take some kind of technological solution to solve this issue. And the Federal Trade Commission at one point got so frustrated with the robocall issue that it instituted a contest and asked software developers, what's your best idea here?
And really offered quite a bit of money, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was $50,000, I think. And they did have people, I think, from Google and some pretty high-powered companies involved. But one of the solutions was an application called Nomo Robo that I see somebody else emailed Larry about and is waiting for an answer on. And unfortunately, most of the technological solutions available only work on smartphones and voice over internet, and there is no solution for landlines. And one of the things that's complicating finding a solution to this problem right now is the combination of copper wire and voice over internet. It's difficult to find some kind of a technological solution. It's also difficult for agencies like us to be able to find the people who are making the calls.
Even if you fell victim, let's say an elderly person fell victim to some sort of a call where they ended up Western Union a check, you'd think that now someone has to pick up that check on the other end, at the Western Union at the other end. So therefore, there is going to be a face that's going to physically touch something at Western Union wherever this check goes, and you ought to be able to with a chip or with you know how they mark the new $100 bill. There's got to be a way to track that so we could zero right in on the person that was cashing the check, or isn't there some technology for that?
You're absolutely right, and the different federal law enforcement partners we work with have set up different sting operations to do that. Where the money lands is typically internationally, overseas, so we need to make sure that those partnerships are also strong and that you're getting cooperation from those other countries and entities when doing that and that reach. So that takes a lot of coordinated effort, a lot of advanced planning, and for that individual to hit your sting operation so you can set that up, or that you're partnering with that potential victim. So that effort is being made, and there have been very good positive results, but it just doesn't happen every time.
I want to go back to, and thanks again for calling, I want to go back to that Nomo Robo again, because Bill emailed us and said it doesn't work for AT&T service, he didn't think, which is too bad. He wondered is there any possibility of forcing phone companies to offer robocall blocking, such as
Robo? A lot of telephone providers do allow some kind of service. Will it block every robocall? Probably not. Nomo Robo works only on voice over internet, and landlines are the most unprotected form of phone service when it comes to robocalls, and anyone who has a landline is well aware of that. But the Federal Trade Commission has just instituted a new contest on this, so hopefully a good solution will emerge out of that.
All right. Thank you, Mark. And we have Joya in Fitchburg. Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
Hi.
Yes.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Listen, I know you don't have too much time, but I would appreciate if she repeats that in the next show about the legal obligation or legal ramifications of the nonprofit and the political organizations calling, because I'm inundated with those calls from the nonprofit organizations. And something else I was going to report to you, and I wonder whether she can say, you know, tell us whether that money can be recovered. A close friend of ours in the campus had a scam call from, I believe, in Delaware, he has not paid taxes for 2 years, and he needs to pay taxes and over the phone. And he became gullible about, because he was threatened that there will be police at his place, etc. So he gave the debit card number, and through the debit card, he paid about $4,500.
Oh.
And then his wife told him, and somebody else told him, that this is a scam. So he reported to Madison police and got a detective. But I wonder if this cat, he can recover any money from it.
Well, not unless you can find the person who scammed you. And
Yeah, it may be very difficult. And he did the right thing by reporting this to the Madison police. Starting in February or so, we've had just a real spike in these complaints about calls from people pretending to be from the IRS or from the State Department of Revenue. And they can be very threatening. It's been a real problem, and obviously it's a scam. We did try to get the word out to people on a regular basis, and so it's really too bad to hear that somebody was victimized in this way. You can check with your debit card company to see whether there are limits on the loss. That's one thing to try. The police department will be investigating, I assume. He may also want to file a complaint with us, and we'll do what we can. But as Larry said at the outset, it can be very, very difficult to try to track back to somebody who may be halfway around the world who called this person.
Yeah, unfortunately. Thanks, Joya, for calling. We had an interesting, I think kind of an interesting question about robocalls from Bill. Bill said, I saw on a website that if you put the three tones that indicate not in service at the start of your answering service message, the robocall software recognizes that and removes you from their list. So, what do you think?
I don't know. That sounds like a very interesting idea. Maybe we can look into that as well and see.
It'd be worth looking into. I suppose, what would you hit? The star?
I don't know
what the buttons are, but I guess if you do know, it doesn't hurt to try it and see if you have if it minimizes the ones you receive.
Absolutely. Nancy in Duluth, hi, thanks for calling.
Yes, I just wanted to let you know that my landline provider is CenturyLink, and I have an option on there to block robocalls. What it does is it gives a voice message beforehand, or when the phone is answered, and says if you're a solicitor, this number does not accept that. So it goes on for a little bit, which activates, you know, picking up the phone and somebody's talking to it, but it's not me. And then I also have an option where if a call does get through, I can block that number from my phone service. By doing a *78 kind of thing on my phone.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's excellent.
Yeah, I have heard about the CenturyLink service.
Oh, it's excellent because it works very well.
Yeah, so I think it's a really good idea to check with your phone company and see what they have available, especially if you are one of those people with a landline.
Kudos to CenturyLink.
That's great.
Kudos to them. And also I found out that from them that if someone is a regular, because some people get annoyed that they hear that message every time they call me, but after a certain amount of time that this person, if it's a friend or whatever, calls my number at home, it will just go through. So like maybe 15 times if they call me, then their call will go through without the voice message.
Okay, so it recognizes that as well. So that's sophisticated software as well.
Yeah, it's very it. So just kudos, like you said, to CenturyLink.
Yeah, thanks, Nancy.
Yep, all right, thank you.
Appreciate the call. Oh, we had an email from Adam. What's the statute of limitations on traditional or fraudulent transactions and issues with billing? My specific concern is a medical bill from December of 2012. My insurance acted in bad faith, and I also believe I was overcharged. Also, can I file a Freedom of Information request and find out what other people have been charged for similar procedures? That's not under your purview, is it?
Medical billing and charges, no. We do receive some complaints about billing disputes, but as far as the prices that are charged and what those rates are, we don't have any control or regulation over that. in that Freedom of Information request, that's language under the federal government in order to receive, you know, in Wisconsin, it's open records. It's the language used to receive government documentation through requests. I don't believe companies have to turn over documents that way. You would have to typically hire an attorney, make requests, court orders.
And here's an email from Jim. Is there, what about false advertising or fraudulent advertising? Specifically, a company advertises a custom fit for a product via their representatives. The product receives doesn't fit properly. When the consumer contacts them about the issue, they say the terms of sale on the back of the order form only guarantee a product that is similar to the one you sampled. Does the promise of a custom product constitute a deceptive practice? Wow.
That's one of those situations where we'd want you to file a complaint, because we're going to want to see that disclosure. It's on the back, the terms and conditions. Is it clear and conspicuous? How upfront is it? So I would file a complaint. And Larry, if you don't mind, I want to follow up real quick on the charity issue.
Yeah.
Been doing a little research while we've had calls at the same time. I'd encourage consumers to file complaints if they've requested to be removed and they're not honored, because it's pretty complex. If there's a third-party telemarketer during the charity, then it needs to be honored. If it's not a third party, then they don't have to honor it legally. So it gets gets into the weeds and the details. And so I think making the request, legitimate charities will likely honor that. If it's not honored, file the complaint or try and ask it again. But file the complaint, because we have to get into the real details about whether or not they're required to honor it or not.
Okay. And then how do they do that? Where do they go?
They can go to call us 1-800-422-7128 or datcp.wi.gov.
So 1-800-422-7128, and the other one is?
datcp.wi.gov, and you can file online.
And we have the phone number and the online link on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. So certainly if you didn't get that, why, just go to my Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. In 30 seconds, any other last-minute thing we want to mention that we haven't brought up before, Sandy?
We've been hearing a lot lately about door-to-door salesmen, them with fraudulent pitches. We heard about an alarm company sales crew that was going around saying, well, your company's out of business, so we need to come in and reinstall your system. So just remember, it's easier to say no to somebody when they're standing on the front porch than it is to get them out of your house once they're inside.
Good tips. And they will be back in about a month, and we will do this all over again with Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen, experts in consumer affairs with the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. And they're going to look up some of those things that we brought up, and we'll be able to talk next time when they're on about those things. Garden Talk tomorrow. Extension horticulture educator Aaron Lefebvre from Eau Claire County, our guest. Thank you for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.